Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us for this hour program. We do it each day, complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. If you ever can't join us live here on the Big X, don't forget we're available each day as a podcast. We're available on Apple Podcast. We are also available on SoundCloud and other places as well that you may listen to podcasts. But no matter how you're with us, we're glad you're with us today because there is a lot to get to. And we've got some great guests, as always, set to join us for our Wednesday program. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. In this opening segment today, our headlines segment, we'll take a look at some things Archie Miller had to say when he was interviewed earlier this week. I mentioned yesterday on the program that Archie sat down, or really it was an Instagram live interview with Jeff Goodman's young daughter, who has been conducting interviews with some folks across college sports and athletics. And so we'll go through some of the highlights because it really, I thought it was a real quick interview, like 5 or 6 minutes. It was like a 30-minute or so video interview, and I made some notes from what he had to say. We'll go through some of that coming up here in the first segment. Also, in the headlines today, we have the first FBS school that it looks like could be pulling the plug completely on the fall sports, on the fall football season specifically. We'll tell you about that in the headlines. We'll talk IU football in our headlines for a moment today and a note on the Indy 500 as well coming up here in the first segment today. Later in the show, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, formerly of The Athletic, I should say, he joins. We'll talk IU hoops, we'll talk college basketball, college sports, and of course, kind of a daily discussion that unfortunately we have to have. It doesn't matter if you're talking pro, college, high school, grassroots, whatever level of sports it is, how the virus is impacting things locally and beyond. So we'll do that with Dustin when he's with us today. And then later in the show, it's Wednesday, so we have Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, on. We talk local sports headlines. We'll talk about the return of some professional sports as well and how fall sports and the workouts this summer leading up to fall sports, if all the seasons are a go, are going here in our area with Josh Cook. And that segment is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. We'll do that and more today. That is the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by your Honey Baked Ham store and check out all the new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, pickup is available, and of course, call ahead for curbside service at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Zaxby's with locations to serve you. The drive-thru's open. The dining room's now open as well in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Archie Miller covered a number of subjects with Jeff Goodman's daughter in an Instagram live interview. And again, we've had the opportunity in this pandemic, because college coaches are not near as busy as what they typically would be, although things are picking up now that as of earlier this week, Archie, Division I coaches across the country can work with their players a limited number of hours per day and per week on the court. That's new, but recruiting is still basically at a standstill as far as visits and trips There is obviously virtual and on the phone and on FaceTime recruiting, but we did get a chance to hear from Archie a couple times during the pandemic. He did a number of different podcasts or interviews, but this is the first one in at least a couple months that I can recall where we've actually got the chance to hear directly from Coach Miller. We really, especially in the off season, not a very talkative guy, doesn't have a lot of media availabilities, doesn't do a lot of radio interviews. In fact, does very few interviews outside of the season. But he did cover some interesting things. One of the things early in the interview was just his thoughts on the chances of a basketball season at the college level actually happening. And he said, quote, "I'm one of the few people that think we need to give it a little more time. Basketball is a winter sport, but we go through two semesters. The NCAA tournament isn't until March, so I think let's give ourselves a chance and get ourselves more information. We can learn more from the fall sports." So really no strong opinion that it's going to happen, not going to happen at this point. I think that's the right mentality to take with basketball, at least, and winter sports. We got to see what happens first and foremost with things in the fall as well. He talked some about a number of topics, even his time at Dayton, coaching with his brother when he was hired to be his assistant at Arizona, what life has been like in the pandemic. He even touched on his playing career at North Carolina State. And he was asked about IU's first workout. I guess this interview was conducted Monday afternoon, Monday evening, after the Indiana team on Monday was allowed to work out with their coaches. And he said, quote, "I didn't have my practice feet ready to go. Those long days on the court, your feet and your back start to hurt after a while. It was a great feeling just to see the players again. We haven't been on the floor since March. It's refreshing to be around your players, to be on the court talking about basketball. It was a good day for us. It's trial and error right now, coaching with a mask on. I usually use a whistle, but I haven't learned how to use a whistle with a mask on." Another interesting topic, I thought, that he discussed was Christian Lander. And obviously, a freshman, a young freshman, very much hyped up in the state of Indiana, carries a good national record and prominence and ranking for what that's worth as well. And it's clear that Archie Miller is high on Christian Lander. And this isn't anything that I'm learning through this interview with Jeff Goodman's daughter, because he's made some really, since he's been allowed to after he signed, he's made some really positive comments about what he thinks about Christian Lander's game and what attracted Indiana to him. And he said yesterday or earlier this week in that interview, quote, "Christian is an extremely talented guy. I watched him for the first time when he was 15 years old at an AAU tournament in California. Quickly, I fell in love with his game as a young guy. I knew he had a chance to be really talented. We offered him right away, hung in there, and recruited him really hard. He's got a great family. Number one, he's very competitive. He doesn't back down, regardless of age. I found that out last July at USA Basketball. There's some 80 guys, and he stood out as one of the best guys there because of how he approached it and used his time. I knew he liked to compete. He's extremely quick, has great length, can score at all three levels, can defend and rebound, and he will be a big guard when it's all said and done. He's got great dimensions for a point guard. I really like how he passes. He can make some reads you have to teach some guys for a long time how to make. As far as expectations, it's hard. You ask a 17-year-old to move in July, graduate early from high school. There's a pandemic happening. You can't get on the floor with him as much as you like. I told him, just be yourself. Be comfortable. The basketball will take care of itself. We'll let it play out, but I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a big impact on our team and on college basketball this season." I thought that was some really, really strong words from Archie Miller on exactly what he thinks and, more importantly, what he sees as a role and the impact that Christian Lander, even as a young freshman in college basketball in the Big Ten, can make for the Indiana program. And one other note from the interview with Jeff Goodman's daughter, he talked about recruiting the state of Indiana. Obviously, that's very important. And obviously, Archie Miller, if you want to hang his hat on something at this point of his young career at Indiana, recruiting in-state, successes in-state have been very good. He said on recruiting Indiana, quote, "Indiana is such a great high school grassroots basketball area. If you get the guys closest to your campus to stay, you can have success. Romeo Langford was in our first class, and that got us the opportunity to get Trace Jackson Davis and his class. And then the next one now with Christian Lander, who might be the number one point guard of the country. It's great to have guys stay home. And again, that's Archie Miller talking about recruiting the state of Indiana and how important it is to land some of those players. And if you're scoring Archie's career so far, I think maybe his highest marks definitely, I think, would come in the recruiting category and with what he's been able to do within the state of Indiana. Also, I saw Pat Forty tweet this out just before we came on a little bit earlier this morning. The first FBS school, or I should say schools, multiple schools, to pull the plug on the 2020 fall sports and football season. Nothing's happened officially yet, but it very well could be the schools in New Mexico. That would be the University of New Mexico and New Mexico State University. And why? There is a story from down in New Mexico, one of the newspapers, citing the rise of positive COVID-19 cases among people aged 20 to 39 in the state. New Mexico's governor has formally asked the University of New Mexico and New Mexico State University leadership to suspend football and other contact sports this fall. And the Albuquerque Journal actually has the full letter that went from the governor's office in New Mexico to those Division I programs in the state of New Mexico. So, you know, we know at some point some conferences have bumped back to the spring. We know there are going to be some crazy things, not in all uniformity across the country and across all conferences this year. But as far as the first FBS schools to not have football, and again, it won't affect the schedule like it could because of conference-only games in most conferences, at least that's been announced so far. But it could be New Mexico and New Mexico State that are pulling the plug first completely on football for this 2020 fall season, and really even into the spring of 2021, it sounds like, from the request from the governor's office in New Mexico. Also, an IU football note today, 9 players on the IU football team were named to Phil Stills. Of course, he's with ESPN and the Phil Stills College Football Preview. All season, or preseason, all Big Ten team, and the one first team member, pretty obvious for Indiana, Stevie Scott III. Second team members include Marcelino Ball, Peyton Hendershot, Jerome Johnson, Watt Fillier, and Sean Ratcher. And then fourth team, you got to skip to fourth team for 3 more. Harry Kreider, Cam Jones, and Michael Penix Jr. make up the 9 players getting some recognition in the Big Ten Conference from Phil Stills. We're ahead of the 2020 season. And our final headline today, just a note on the Indianapolis 500. It really doesn't affect us in far southern Indiana, and it really doesn't affect anyone in the Louisville television market, which far southern Indiana falls within. But the Indianapolis 500, which has long been blacked out in metro Indianapolis, you can't watch it, even if it's not a sellout. It's something that for years and years and years has been blacked out on local TV in the Indianapolis market. But due to COVID-19 and due to the fact that attendance at the 500 this year is limited to just 25%, the race will actually air live in metro Indianapolis. So that was an announcement made earlier this morning from the 500. Of course, some big sporting events coming up. I know we're thinking in the summertime. We're not used to thinking at this time of year that you've got the Kentucky Derby and the Indianapolis 500 coming up, but both of those events set to take place in the month of September. So those are two big events and two events locally for our economies that are so very big. Obviously, things are going to look a lot different this year with attendance and other regulations that will be put in place. But going to be very interesting to see how they go and to see how it affects, I don't know, the health, the cases, the virus cases in our local area. I think 25% of the Indianapolis 500 is still a pretty large number that will be allowed in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And I also think when I was reading that announcement this morning about TV, I think it'll be interesting to see, do they sell all of the available tickets? You would think that they would. But with the virus, and I've seen some other events that have not done well, didn't even meet their half or third capacity that they were allowed to do ticket-wise, it'll be interesting to see if people want to get out, even in a social distance, Indianapolis Motor Speedway, or same for the Kentucky Derby, and fill it up. I have a feeling, though, that every ticket that you can get your hands on to the Derby, obviously, will be full. That's a look at our headlines brought to you by Zaxby's. for this Wednesday edition of our program. Don't forget Zaxby's open in Jeffersonville and New Albany. The drive-thrus, of course, very quick service, and the dining rooms also open to serve you as well at Zaxby's in Jeffersonville and New Albany. We are one day away from the restart, or I guess it's the start, the opening day of Major League Baseball. I think it's the Yankees and the Nationals tomorrow, the first actual regular season game coming up in Major League Baseball. And then, of course, Friday, there may be some exhibition games, some scrimmage games from the NBA on Thursday as well. But definitely Friday, that's when Romeo play. And I think that's also when the Pacers get back at it as well down in Orlando. So going to be interesting to see how all that goes. We have got some sports coming back to television, which is a good thing. But obviously, as we've talked earlier this week, going to look different with no fans in the stands. There's no question about that. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic. We'll talk college hoops, college football, and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak, formerly of The Athletic, joins on Wednesdays. We talk IU basketball, football, college sports, and a lot more when Dustin is with us on the program. Dustin, Archie Miller, he did an interview earlier this week with Jeff Goodman's daughter, of all people, which was pretty informative, and an opportunity to hear from Coach Miller in the offseason, which isn't something we get to see a lot of or hear a lot of. And then I noticed this morning an article in The Athletic, the former employer of you, written by Seth Davis, a Q&A with Archie Miller. So we've got an opportunity to hear from Coach Miller a lot here this week about the team and college basketball, what it could look like, and what his thoughts are on the upcoming season.
Yeah, no, it's definitely some interesting stuff from Seth. I know they go back a ways, so I wasn't surprised that Seth was able to break through with him a little bit. He hasn't been as open, basically, with providing that level of access to local guys. But I figured Seth would probably be able to get a lot out of him, and he did. And I thought there was a lot of interesting stuff there, especially just about sort of the social angle of being the Indiana basketball coach, and also just what it's been like on pandemic, and basically things that he's been able to do that he's never done before. He's obviously kind of a workaholic guy. That whole family is, if you know the Miller family, not just Sean, but his dad, like John, basically that whole Miller family is intense. And so it was interesting to see him talk about realizing the pandemic, telling him, hey, maybe you can take it down half a notch every once in a while. Maybe you can take it down a little bit more time to spend some time with your family. I think it was interesting. He said he watched the Bad Boys trilogy with his daughter 3 days in a row, and he's like, I've never been able to do anything like that, as long as he's been a parent. So I thought that all was a lot of that was interesting. I think he was just another thing he said about recruiting, that basically he's like, man, maybe we don't need to kill ourselves on the recruiting show in July like we do. Maybe we should all try and take it down. I thought all that was interesting. And from an Indiana standpoint, I mean, I think a couple things that he said about Christian Lander and about Trace Jackson Davis, I think, were really intriguing about this season. I think he talked about the way that Trace approached the possibility of going to the NBA draft and not looking at it the same way, where Romeo Langford, it seemed like Romeo was very sort of ready and focused on that. Trace was sort of sitting back and not necessarily pushed that way, and kind of felt like he could have another year at Indiana. I think it was also interesting how he discussed Christian Lander and how he might play together, with Rob Phinisee and even Al Durham, that those guys could all be on the backcourt at the same time. And he said he thinks Lander's one of the best, high school players, regardless of class, basically going in, already kind of felt that way the last time he saw him. So I felt, all that was a lot of interesting information out there. When you get Archie talking, he can be really interesting. He just doesn't tend to submit to too many of these. But when he does, you can get a good bit out of him because he just gets rolling. I think even his press conferences are like that too. He just doesn't do a lot of out of season media.
Yeah, no question about it. And Christian Lander was my next point to talk about, because obviously we know Christian's a talent, and we know that the IU staff and Archie Miller are high on him. But there have been a couple opportunities during the pandemic to hear from Coach Miller, and he's been high on Christian Lander with some really strong words, I think, about a young freshman in college basketball. It makes you wonder just how big of a role could Christian really have with this team as a freshman point guard?
Yeah, no, I think he's – I don't think there's any doubt about it based on what he has said. And just, I don't know, just the way the kids looked at, I just can't see that he won't be – you know, it, even if he doesn't start, he's a 25-minute a game guy. I mean, I think they'll find ways of working him in there. He's going to be, I think, part of the main rotation. I think that you can kind of take to the bank. Whether or not he's a starter, he might be the first guy off the bench at worst-case scenario. It seems like a guy that you're not going to be able to keep off the floor. The more you hear him, I think, you know, early on you thought maybe, okay, well, he's going to come in there really young. You know, he's skipping his senior year. You know how highly rated a kid he is, but you know he's kind of wiry, kind of skinny. It's like, okay, is he going to be ready for this? But the way, you know, Archie Miller talks about him, and just even the way I think you're starting to see people that are in the scouting and, you know, looking at the 2021 NBA draft already, don't think it's out of line that he could be a guy that's part of that discussion. He could be at that level. I mean, I think I saw a list that he is, you know, the highest rated freshman coming in, even though he's a year younger than everybody else. So I think it's hard to imagine he won't make a major impact. Again, it's possible, especially early, that they'll start the veterans, you know, maybe put Tennessee and Durham out there. But I think you're going to see Lander early and often, and there's a good chance that it might be a situation where he overtakes Tennessee and becomes the guy, you know, a decent way into the season when he's got the opportunity to really learn, the position. I mean, he's obviously going to have to take a lot in, but he's a super intelligent kid, obviously super athletic, just very fast, very, very skilled guy. So he's got all the pieces. I think it is going to be an issue, I think, of just getting used to college basketball, and who knows when they're going to be able to go play 5-on-5 together. I mean, it's probably going to be a while. You have to imagine the COVID is going to slow his development somewhat, but I mean, he is on the court now, obviously, with the rest of them. So that obviously at least is getting him started in that direction.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak, IU basketball, Archie Miller, and more to start our conversation today. I'm amazed, Dustin, when Archie is interviewed and just how often it comes up about Romeo Langford. He was there for 1 year. He had some success, but Indiana as a team obviously didn't make the NCAA tournament. But when it comes to a recruiting standpoint, I have a feeling that not only are we going to hear how important that Romeo Langford's commitment to the IU program was for years to come, but also how important this three-year span of Langford, Trace Jackson Davis, and now Lander, which Archie referenced in this interview, we're talking about how important that is going to be for years to come for this Indiana program as Archie Miller tries to really stake out this state.
No, absolutely. I think, Romeo's commitment still, it resonates. I mean, it's just one of those things you can't, it's tough to put a price on or really quantify what it means when somebody makes it cool to go to a program again. And that happens at various times. And obviously that sort of rises and falls, and someone can do it and then it can kind of fall out of fashion again and somebody brings it back. But I mean, like, you know, you look back and how they built the 2012-2013 Sweet 16 team, you know, Cody Zeller made it cool to commit to Indiana again. Not only him, but also Hunter and, you know, Hunter Perea. And even though he didn't become nearly what he was supposed to be, that also helped. I think that also kind of tipped things for Cody a little bit, and certainly for Yogi Ferrell. When you have someone like that, I mean, I think absolutely Romeo Langford's commitment had a lot to do with Trace Jackson Davis committing. I mean, he definitely looked at it and said, okay, you know, this brings some legitimacy there. This tells me, all right, this guy can go practically wherever he wants to go, and he's going to Indiana. So that's something I should look at. And from that point, you know, again, I think Romeo had an underrated freshman year for whatever level of complaints there was. He averaged 16.5 a game. I mean, like, for, you know, and Archie Miller will stand up and say this all the time, like, hey, like, you know, we talk about this like it was a huge disappointment just because we went to the NIT, but look at what this kid did as a true freshman. It's one of the best, you know, statistical freshman years that an Indiana player has had. So even though, again, the wins weren't there, and even you can pick apart some of, you know, his shooting percentages and whatnot, ultimately, he still put 16.5 on the board every night. So that, you know, it definitely does, you know, that definitely did start things going to get the Trace. and now to get to Christian. I mean, you have to imagine that Trace and Christian very much were aware of Romeo and that it mattered in their minds, that Romeo had gone there when he was such a big deal. You know, they certainly, I imagine, looked up to him and knew how important he was. So that's definitely a domino starting point, and basically that everything else sort of comes from that. I mean, even, you know, Leo and Galloway, that's, you know, you have to think that mattered in their minds too. They probably were more likely to stay at home, but still, it still matters in their minds. So all of that factors in, and it's hard to put a price on that. So it's, you know, I think you still are going to look back at Romeo Langford's commitment as being extremely important to Archie Miller's tenure.
Dustin, I want to look ahead to today to the Big Ten Conference for next season, and I was looking at the August 2nd date for the withdrawal date for the deadline, you could say, for this year's NBA draft, which everything seems completely out of sync with this pandemic that we're talking about a draft deadline in early August as opposed to the normal time. But that deadline, when you look at college basketball and maybe even the conferences across the country, that deadline could have as big of impact on the Big Ten Conference as any conference in the country. And it starts with Luka Garza at Iowa, because him coming back to Iowa makes him maybe, what, a top five, top ten team that could compete for the Final Four. Without him, I'm not sure you see Iowa near that level. But there are other players as well, Michigan State, Michigan, and the list goes on, that really could affect how talented the inexperienced maybe the Big Ten Conference is next year. That August 2 deadline, it's going to be something that, while there isn't an IU player in the mix where you're waiting on the edge of your seat to see if they pull out or stay in for the NBA draft, it is worth paying attention to if you're a Hoosier fan, just from the Big Ten perspective.
No, absolutely. I mean, like I said, Iowa, Luka Garza, Michigan State, I think Xavier Tillman is still one of those guys that maybe is kind of on the fence. Illinois, I think, is a big one with Ayu Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn. Those two are really big. I'm pretty sure those guys are still. I mean, it's, you know, the declarations are so long ago that you kind of forget who's still in it. You know, who pulled out? I'm like, okay, did Luka pull out or not? Luka's still in. Okay, you know, and you forget it's just they've had so long to do this, but so little to do. You know, they haven't had to this point a draft process where you kind of thought, you know, usually there was a, you know, a schedule by which, okay, you're going to figure it out by then. And, you know, you're so far out ahead of it. You know, the college teams know who they're going to lose, you know, pretty much, basically. And if they suddenly find themselves in the bind where somebody they didn't expect to go goes, you know, you could still get somebody late. You could still get a grad transfer or somebody like that. We're so far along at this point that, I mean, if somebody that you're thinking is still going to come back, even if they're still in, you know, there's nothing you can do about it at this point. So, but no, I mean, that it is a huge game changer. I think Illinois, I mean, Iowa's really big, certainly with Garza, they become a top 10, top 15 program. My issue is I still have a hard time taking Iowa really seriously just because of what I saw Purdue do to them. And even Indiana, just defensively, they're bad. But, you know, they do have some scorers, and that's going to give them a fighting chance. So, you know, and I think rankings wise, I mean, the way people put their top 25 rankings together, they're still going to look at the returning points and having a guy who's, you know, a returning All-American. They say, okay, that's got to be a top 10 program. So as far as where they start, it will absolutely be huge. But I think, yes, Illinois, Michigan State, and there's a couple others out there. I know Isaiah Livers just decided to come back for Michigan. I would have been surprised if he stayed in. But all those pieces are going to be interesting to see where they shake out. And it is wild to still be in late July and not really know who's going to be on some of these programs. It's wild to consider. I mean, they're going to get drafted on October 15th. Who knows when they're actually going to get to play a game, because you're going to have to play the end of this season in the bubble and then decide how long it's going to be before you restart up. Just wild to consider just how long it's going to be before everything is normal and on a normal schedule again.
Yeah, no question. And when you think about the Big Ten for next season, I think people think Indiana's in the mix and will be a team that could be, I don't know, the upper half or even higher of the conference. And I noticed in reading the story, the Q&A on The Athletic with Archie Miller earlier today, he actually himself mentioned Indiana as a contender. Now, that's a coach, and he's positive about his team, but is Indiana a contender in your mind for a Big Ten championship and to compete for the top handful of spots in the conference this upcoming season?
Yeah, I mean, a contender, obviously, at this stage in the game, you know, like a contender, you've got to give some, I guess, leeway on that term, if you will. Basically, it doesn't necessarily have to be the top two teams, and you might find yourself in February, and it, you know, somebody like a Michigan State is running away with it again, and you're like, why did we ever think anybody was the contender? You know, it gets that way sometimes when everybody gets on the floor and you realize that somebody's head and shoulders above everybody else. I mean, maybe Iowa surprises me and ends up being way better than I think they're going to be, and, you know, ends up owning whatever preseason ranking they're going to get, and you'll be wondering, okay, well, there's only really one contender. But they're definitely a team that you have to talk about. I mean, again, I think, you know, I think Trace Jackson Davis is good enough to be a first team All Big Ten guy. If he is, and Christian Lander, you know, is, plays at a level that, you know, he could be a first round pick coming out, then you've got two really big core foundational pieces to start right there. And you don't really have a lot of holes, you know, down the rest of the way. I mean, you have a lot of solid players, in Tennessee and Durham, in the freshmen coming in, the rest of the freshmen coming in, with Geronimo and Galloway and Leo. If those guys can contribute in some way, make them a better shooting team, you got Joey Brent being a steady guy that you can bring, either start next to Jackson Davis or bring off the bench at the five. And Jerome Hunter, I mean, basically, he obviously can make a big stride and kind of become what everybody hoped he would be before he went through the leg condition situation. They have a chance to be really good. But, I mean, again, those two pieces to start, Lander and Jackson Davis, take them a long way just, you know, to begin with. That enough makes them a tough out. That enough makes them a team you don't want to mess with. And again, just Trace himself is going to make them really, really competitive. So it's just a question of, okay, what if everybody else kind of contributes at the highest level that you can expect, that's a team that's going to be in the mix. I mean, do I look at them and say that's a favorite? No, I don't. I still think that there's a lot that they've got to prove, that, you know, basically a lot of those you are going to end up relying on a lot on freshmen. But all the same, there is some skill there. There's a lot of talent there. And if it can all come together, they have a chance to be really, really good.
Dustin Dopierak is my guest, talking IU basketball, Big Ten hoops, and more. Dustin, obviously, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with college football just yet, so it's hard to have any idea what goes on with the college basketball season at this point. I'm guessing that when college football kicks off, if it kicks off, at that point, some of the discussion obviously will continue on college football, but some of this discussion will maybe look ahead to the basketball season. Do you think we're maybe mid-September or so is a time frame when we can start to piece together what at least the season could look like, when it could start? Would it be conference only? How it could be structured? Will it start late? Do you think we'll start to understand those things better in the fall?
Yeah, that would be my guess. And I think, obviously, the big issue has nationally is just because there's been this rise in cases again, because you've gotten back to the point where you're getting, you know, nationwide 40, 50,000 cases a day that get reported. Basically, it's in a situation where you need to see that calm down before you can really, I think, make any promises when it comes to anything. I guess you want to know that the trend line is going back down again before you're safe, I think. And so I do think that if you figure, if you get college football on the field and you play a couple games and you sort of see what that means, basically, and you keep testing and you if you don't, because there's going to be spread. I mean, that I think is what you have to presume. There's going to be some level of spread that you're going to have, you know, players play games and come back with cases that you didn't know they were going to get. That I think is going to be something. It's going to be just the extent of that. I think it's really going to tell you how much further you can go. But I think you're going to have to play a couple weeks worth of games and see what happens when these guys get in the stadiums against each other, even if there's not going to be fans, even if there's not going to be a whole lot of other personnel in the building. You're just going to have to see what happens when these kids actually get together and start playing games and see if the virus is spread that way, and if so, how much, before you start looking at basketball. So I would say, yeah, I think you're going to have to get some games on the field and sort of get an idea, okay, can we take this next step, with basketball? So I think you're going to continue to see them progress towards a season as is. And it's just a question of, okay, what do you have to take off the table at each step? If you're at the end of August and you're not seeing cases come down, okay, then maybe you have to ask yourself some questions, maybe change some things at that point. But it's like anything else. I mean, like every time we think, all right, like here's a timeline that makes sense, ends up not making sense because there's a change. It started to feel like everything was kind of calming down a little bit and we were sort of progressing towards it. And then, you open everything up and then you have a spike again. So it's like, then you have to, reconsider after that. You have to look at the fact that you're going to have a lot of schools that are going to be remote only and say, okay, well, is that a good thing ultimately for playing the game? Or what, how does that look? Our team's going to be willing to progress, just go forward with that. Even if they're not having kids on campus, they're going to be, playing football games. Are they okay with those optics? A lot of that's, just still very much, just very much up in the air. It's just, okay, what are they willing to do? What are they willing to deal with? Again, how are they going to handle some of these things, some of these eventualities when they occur? Are you going to have teams that have outbreaks? If you have teams that have outbreaks, what happens? All of that, I think, is still up in the air. And I think if you're basketball, you want to take a breather and sit back and watch what football goes through and do the most you can up until that point progresses if you're going to have a full season. But be prepared to alter that as you see what football goes through.
Absolutely. Dustin, when we get some pro sports back later this week, baseball tomorrow, the NBA coming up from the bubble in Orlando as well, what will you watch more of, pro baseball, pro basketball? I have a feeling I know the answer, but I'll let you tell me.
I'll be both. I mean, honestly, I'll do a lot of both, I think. And it's just going to be wild. It's going to be one of the weirdest stretches of sports television watching ever because, you're going to have – my guess is because they're going to be in separate sites, baseball is going to still play, your normal time frames, your 7 o'clock first pitches, NBA is going to be all day. So my guess is I'll just probably have sports on all day until my wife tells me you have to go do something, leave the couch right now. that's about what it's going to be for me, I think. So, just take as much of it in and be happy that there's sports for once. And it was while I was home, in Pittsburgh this weekend, and I'd even forgot, but they had a exhibition game on TV, and watched the Pirates and the Indians on a little bit of Pirates and Indians with the empty stadium at PNC, and it was just a weird thing to see, but that's what it's going to be like going forward. That's what you're going to see, and you're going to see empty stadiums and empty arenas, but they're going to play the games, and we're going to go forward and have a 60 game baseball season and a kind of weird finish to the NBA, but. It's definitely better than what we've had the last 4 months.
Yeah, no question. Dustin Dopierak, kind enough to join us each Wednesday. We talk hoops, football, college sports, just about everything. Dustin, enjoy the sports restarting later this week, and we'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Matt.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak with us Wednesdays here on the program. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, it's time for some local sports headlines with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News End Tribune, and our segment brought to you each week by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. Stay with us for that coming your way. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Final segment on this Wednesday program. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. He joins the program presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever your needs, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. Josh, high school sports summer workouts continue across the area as we hope to get closer to fall sports. And, of course, football coming up really about 1 month away are we from football scrimmages and then the start of the regular season. You've continued your visits with local coaches and even around to some of the workouts going on in the area. What's the latest? What's the feeling out there, Josh?
One day at a time, Matt. One day at a time, I guess, is what it is. everything just continues to move forward. Just take it one day at a time, and hope that by August 3rd, when practices officially begin, that everybody's they're practicing. that's the hope at this point. And today we're a week away from most places, I guess. Well, I don't know about most places anymore, but from some places starting school, I guess, now that some have been pushed back. Next Wednesday, I believe, is the first day that girls golf can have official practice. And then the first match they can play is August 3rd, which is the first day of fall sports can begin practice, the other ones.
I know that earlier this week, Silver Creek, which is now their own school corporation, as well as Borden-Henryville, that school system, both announced that school is going to be pushed back by about 2 weeks from what the initial start date was. It's going to be interesting. This really isn't a sports topic, but it's going to be interesting to see if other school systems in the area who have announced they are going back later this month or early in August, if they delay a little bit as well to see what's happening with the virus, or if some get back in school later in the month of July, really about a week from now, or delay a little bit.
Yeah, I would imagine so. I believe New Albany Floyd County might be having a board meeting tomorrow night, and they may that specific topic, I would imagine, would be pretty at the forefront of that meeting. But and I reached out to some of the ADs yesterday about that. And, they're still practicing, they're still playing fall sports as usual. You know, the schedules are not going to change or anything at this point, so. Hopefully by August 15th, we're talking about boys tennis matches or scrimmages or something like that. So hopefully that happens.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. I guess I think we got another guest today, Josh, on the show. I hear your dog in the background. But I want to touch on this. This is a common topic, Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek, that we discuss on the program. He has made another major jump in the national rankings, which were released by Rivals earlier in the week. I think he jumped, 40-something spots to number 39 nationally in those rankings. I know that I know a lot of listeners of this show know how good Trey is, know how important of a recruit he would be to Indiana if they are able to land him. But I think from what – and I haven't been out this spring or summer, there has been so little basketball – but I think he's made even more of a jump based on this new ranking and other reports that are out there. He continues to get even better and even better as he gets closer to entering that senior season.
Yeah. Sorry, my dog is a big Trey Kaufman fan, apparently. Did he hear her bark? And I apologize for that. But, that was a huge, huge jump that he made. Nobody else even made like one or two rises in the rankings. So, I don't know if they saw something or they were just catching up to other people's rankings or what. But yeah, from some videos that we've seen online and stuff, it seems like Trey is just keeps on improving, and his game just keeps on expanding. I know his athletic ability. That's what you've seen in one of the videos, I think, where he was doing the vertical leap. And then I've talked to some people who said, that they're really impressed by his, the improvement of his athletic skills. So he's becoming even more athletic. So it's definitely going to be interesting to see what he does. Louisville, Indiana, Purdue, a bunch of local schools are really interested in him. And, Virginia's hot on his tail too. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if we'll see if now, with that big jump in the rankings, we'll see if the bigger schools, maybe Kentucky or North Carolina or somebody like that, gets involved. I know they've been in contact with him, but I don't think they've offered scholarships yet. So we'll see if that pushes that along.
Absolutely. Speaking of recruiting, this is a new name, Brett Denby. He is a Jeffersonville, will be a sophomore here very shortly when school resumes. Made a commitment in baseball, college baseball, to the University of Georgia. So a Division I baseball recruit added to that roster at Jeffersonville. Not familiar with Denby. I know he missed out on his freshman season of high school baseball. Of course, the Red Devils, the whole team, the coronavirus shut all spring sports down. But interesting to see another local player committing very, very early, even in his high school career, to Division One, a Division One baseball program.
Yeah. It's I don't know what it is that they just commit when they're freshmen or sophomores. The colleges, I guess, just offer them right away, or offer them, and they just accept, which is, you know, great for them. It's good for them. I know, you know, we've talked about, and then you talked about Tucker Bivens too recently, but Tucker Bivens right up there. You know, he committed to U of L when before he was even a freshman, right? Or maybe he was in a freshman. I can't remember, to be honest with you. But, you know, and Holden Grower had committed to IU. I think he may have backed off that commitment now. But then, you know, that's good that they can go ahead and make that decision early on and take some of the pressure off. But, you know, that's you just wonder what could have been for the Jeffersonville baseball team with a young man like that committing to Georgia, and with the kids they had and they're supposed to have for their senior year. And speaking of which, I know they're going to be honoring their senior baseball players at Jeff on Monday night. So that's good for them.
Absolutely. Speaking of Jeff as well, a number of facility improvements there. The football field is now turf. I got a chance to see it the other day. Some big improvements there. Of course, the baseball field, now a turf infield. They've done some other really neat things to that ballpark, including the outfield fence, which is really nice. And New Albany, new baseball field, new softball field, Charlestown, new turf facility. I'm sure I'm missing out on a few projects that have taken place in this downtime over the spring and summer, but there's been a lot of facility upgrades and some new facilities here in the area despite the coronavirus shutdown.
Yeah, I've been working on a story about that for a while. I just haven't had a chance to kind of wrap it up, but yeah, lots of places, like you mentioned, are making, you know, big upgrades. The coronavirus, the only good thing about it, I guess, is they kind of helped some of these projects have time to, you know, to go on. Like the New Albany, you know, baseball and softball field, as you mentioned, you know, once the season got canceled, they could start. You know, they started working on the fields right away, and boy, they look they're looking good. I don't know, they're not done, I don't think, but they're getting close. And I just drove past them the other day, and they're looking really nice.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, you mentioned Jeffersonville as well.
Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, thanks for the chat today. Always fun to catch up. We'll do it next week.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Have a good day.
This segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Back with you Thursday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.